produces not only joy, but fear. Shock and fear emerge frequently as part of the human condition. God's actions in the resurrection of Jesus is a clue to the possibility of their transformation. There is no doubt that the resurrection was a shock. Accounts of the resurrection describe with disbelief, perplexity, confusion, and bewilderment that are in today's gospel, rather than focusing on the emotions of the women. Matthew vividly describes a dramatic and terrifying scene, an earthquake, the movement of a massive stone, lightning, an angel, a guard so terrified that they appear to be dead. He does not venture to suggest what the two women were thinking, and in fact, when they encounter the angel, they are dealt with very tenderly. Do not be afraid. I know why you are here. Come and look, and go and tell everyone else. Fear and perplexity are more common emotions than we are generally prepared to admit. Most grown-ups feel they should always know what to do, and admitting you are scared can seem rather weak. It is said that the phrase, "do not be afraid," features 365 times in the Bible, one reassurance for each day of the year. There is no shame in fearfulness, and perhaps we should be sure to emulate the Bible's angels in showing tenderness and reassurance to the fearful. But contrast with the accounts in some of the other Gospels, the purpose of the two men is visit to the tomb is low key. They have simply gone to see it. However, they walk into something dramatic and extraordinary in the extreme. And when they meet Jesus, they worship him. The description of him seizing his feet emphasizes this, describing the contemporary gesture of humility. Amidst the extraordinariness of the event, we must not overlook the impact of a meeting with the risen Jesus on two women undertaking a relatively ordinary task, visiting a grave. There may be lessons for us here. Neither must we overlook the choice of deliverance for this extraordinary message. Not Peter, not James and John, but two women. When God has extraordinary tasks, the most unassuming characters sometimes handle them very capably. The message is delivered twice. Both the angel and risen Jesus himself instruct the women to tell the disciples to go to Galilee. There they will see him. There is movement in this, rather than an easy outcome. Having travelled to Jerusalem for a festival, they must have now travelled back to Galilee to encounter Jesus. Does this describe the effort is expected of the fact that perhaps it is in familiar surroundings that we are most likely to encounter the risen Christ? They experience fear and great joy as they hurry off. The choice of words may be extremely subtle, conveying more than meets the eye. For it is with fear and great joy that many women confront the birth of their children. Perhaps the evangelist is using the metaphor of birth to indicate something of the profundity and life-changing potency of the resurrection. In 1965, the pop group The Animals declared, "We've got to get out of this place if it's the last thing we ever do. We've got to get out of this place. There's a better life for me and you." Jesus broke out of the tomb to release us into a new way of living. Matthew's account of the first Easter Sunday morning is very dramatic. An earthquake, dazzling angels and guards. If Easter Day was televised in the style of a Doctor Who episode, you might imagine they would choose Matthew's version of events. Matthew is a skilled writer, and his account clearly grabs the attention. How much of what he describes actually happened is a matter of great scholarly debate. It is possible that there was an earthquake that morning, And many legitimately believe this literally happened, as earthquakes do happen in that region. However, whether we have a literal or metaphorical view, we do know that something truly groundbreaking happened that day. Once again, God has broken into human history in a dramatic, groundbreaking way. Jesus, who was crucified, dead and buried, is alive. That is the news given by the angel messenger. Like the petrified guards and the wondering women, we might not know exactly how the resurrection happened, but we can know, like the women, the glorious truth of Easter day, that Jesus is risen. For the two Marys, they had the extra privilege of meeting the risen Jesus in physical form. We do not have that privilege, but we can learn from what they did. Firstly, they took hold of Jesus. If you've been separated from someone you love and or have not expected to see them, you will know what it feels like to take hold of a person, wanting to physically hold on to them for proof of their existence. Matthew tells us that the two Marys were in a confused state of fear and great joy. When life's events shakes us, we are wise if we, like women, we in faith take hold of Jesus and listen for his song saying, "Don't be afraid." Having taken hold of Jesus, they worshipped him. Their relationship with him is renewed. After the song, the season of Lent, Easter is a season for renewed hopeful, joyful, celebratory worship. This is a sign of knowledge and belief in the risen Lord. Then, having been reassured again by Jesus, with a wonderful recurring phrase, "Do not be afraid," the two Marys are told by Jesus to go and tell. To go and tell their testimony. To go and tell the good news that Jesus is risen and all that that means. To go and tell others that they too can see him dead. This is a commissioning by Jesus of their roles as disciples and evangelists. As you go today, I want you to take a little Jesus with you. You can either keep it for yourself as a reminder that Jesus is with you, or you can pass it on to someone else who you think needs Jesus in their life. The words in Matthew, "He is not here," has been raised, were the final clue to what had taken place. As fear began to be overtaken by joy, the women started back to tell the disciples, only to have the even greater surprise of encountering Jesus himself. As the women fall down and worship Jesus, they are told again by Jesus not to be afraid, but to go and tell my brothers they would see Jesus in Galilee. The women may have wanted to stay with Jesus, but they had to go and tell their amazing story. If they hadn't shared the amazing story of Christ's reactions, we wouldn't be here now. As a Christian person says, a Christian should be an alleluia from head to foot. So let us go out from church today with joy, with our eyes fixed on the risen Christ. Christ is risen and fear does not have the final word. The resurrection of Jesus is not just a past event, it's a present reality. It means that even in the face of fear, grief or uncertainty, God is at work bringing life, joy and hope. The risen Christ meets us where we are and sends us out with courage and purpose. So this Easter, let us respond as those women did. Let us take hold of Jesus. Let us hear his words not to be afraid. Let us worship him and know deeply the truth of the resurrection. And let us go and tell others this powerful news. Let us pray. May the risen Christ reign in your hearts. May the Comforter inspire and challenge you. May the God of glory be with you always. Amen.